right. Good morning, and welcome to our little cave in the corner here. We've heard a lot about construction sites and how we manage them post-construction and how we get water to act like it used to. I'm going to fit in this little niche in between when you're done with your grading, you've got everything the way it's supposed to be, and that nice green area that we see in so many of these slides. So I'm going to talk about how to control erosion and get grass growing basically on these sites after they've been disturbed. So we've basically got three systems I'm going to talk about. There's others out there, but I'm going to talk about straw, hydromulch, and blankets, rolled erosion control products, we call them in the industry. There's lots of other products out there. There's compost, there's everything all the way up to concrete, if you want to call that an erosion control system. But I'm just going to talk about these three. Now, I'm going to do a quick survey here, this audience. Who thinks straw is the best system? Oh, nobody, zero. How about hydromulch? Got a few tentative hands here, and so everybody else is for blankets. All right. Well, we got a lot of uncommitted out there, it looks like. So let's talk about that. I'm also going to fit a lot about our work with polyacrylamide. Anybody knows my research, you know that polyacrylamide is always part of it somehow or some way. So let's talk about that. So just looking at the literature to kind of bring everybody up to speed on mulching, you can see just by looking at this table, and this is obviously not exhaustive, but some examples, generally I call it the 90% rule. You put anything out in sufficient quantity, you will reduce erosion by 90%. And that's basically what we find over and over again. So covering up the soil is obviously a good idea. Those of you with agronomic backgrounds, this is basically no-till we're talking about. If we're looking at those blankets that some of you at least favor, there are some features that you're looking for that will prevent erosion and get grass growing or other vegetation growing as quickly as possible. And these are summarized in this paper here. You can see you want it to be dense. You want it to have a good roughness. It needs to have some weight to it, especially when it's wet, so that it adheres to the soil and doesn't allow water to run underneath it. So these are some general things, and basically the bottom line is the more expensive products tend to work better. That's kind of what you'd like to see here. Now, if you look at published results regarding polyacrylamide, and I'll talk about some of our research, but if you look at what's out there in the published world, usually we get reduced erosion with the addition of polyacrylamide. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later. So if you're not familiar with it, we'll get into that a little bit. Also, we tend to reduce runoff volume. And I'll show you a slide of what we found. But many people have found the soil structure, even if it's in a constructed soil, is maintained better when we have some polyacrylamide present in the system. So you reduce erosion, increase infiltration, unless you put too much out, and then you can actually seal the soil with the polyacrylamide. So there is a fine balance. All right, so we've been doing a lot of tests on construction sites, generally DOT-oriented. They've been funding us for many years. But a lot of this applies to pretty much anywhere else where you're disturbing the soil. So here's one of our first studies where we went out on slopes next to highways that were being built and took a look at ground cover and polyacrylamide, and basically what we found was the 90% rule. We got great reductions in erosion when we covered up the soil, in this case with straw. We didn't find any results of any significance with polyacrylamide. That was primarily because at that time we were using the rates that they use in furrow irrigation, and you know, we're talking about 1% slopes in that case, and we're talking about 2-to-1 slopes in our case. We found that we needed to put a lot more out to get any kind of reasonable results. So we upped our rates a little bit and did some more work. And you can see here, looking at turbidity and erosion, two things that we tend to look at for the performance. And bare soil, which we don't usually do very much because basically in construction, you really don't want to leave your soil bare. But just for comparison, you can see looking at that first column right here with no PAM, as we add our products, we get better and better erosion control. In this case, those of you who like hydromulch, you win. In this case, it was the best product, not statistically, but just in raw numbers. If we add the polyacrylamide, at least for the blanket, we actually found that we significantly reduced turbidity. Now, if we look at the amount of erosion over here, again, high erosion rates on areas that were bare soil, and I know for construction this is actually low, but these are fairly low slopes. We add the erosion control products, and as you move down the column, generally we got less erosion. So that worked out pretty much as expected. Basically cover up the soil and you're going to significantly reduce erosion. Now, in many cases, what we're trying to do is establish vegetation. So the question is, which product is best for establishing vegetation? For us, it was always grass. That's generally what's used on highways. So that'll be the one we'll be looking at. And in this case, we're really trying to see if the polyacrylamide, with its benefits to soil structure and infiltration, would also give us better grass growth. And unfortunately, we did not find that, except for in the case of one time when we took a sample, the blanket situation with the polyacrylamide did increase grass growth, but generally not anything significant. And that's generally what we found. We do not see a benefit in grass establishment. And this is sort of my version of a meta study. This is probably about 2008, 2009. We had done a lot of projects on a lot of different sites. And so I threw it all together in this graph to show you the comparison for each individual site, how well these products did compared to straw alone, which was the standard for all our highway projects at that time, just blowing out straw. So if you look at the blankets here on the left, you can see what I'm measuring here is the percent of turbidity, in this case as a sort of a surrogate for erosion, percent compared to straw alone. So if it's blue in the upper hand, that means it was better. By, let's say, Excelsior plus PAM was better than the straw at that site by 20%. 20% less erosion as measured by turbidity. So if we look at all these blankets on the left-hand side, you can see most of them were at least as good, sometimes better than straw alone. In the middle, for those of you who were hydromulch fans, you see a lot of red. And we had a lot of cases where we actually had higher turbidity, more erosion in the sites where we were putting out these different products. And that's unfortunately what we've seen since then, and so we're not big fans of hydromulches at this point. If you look at the straw plus PAM, my favorite, because it's the least expensive of these systems, easiest to put out, and you can see a lot of blue bars, and sure enough, that's generally what we've been finding, is if we put out the straw correctly and we add polyacrylamide on top of that, we will get even higher water quality improvements, even less erosion in most cases. So that's a summary of a whole bunch of probably about 8 or 9 different sites where we did plot studies. Now, if we want to get into the nuts and bolts of what's actually happening with these systems, particularly in regard to polyacrylamide, we do it in a rainfall simulator so we can be there during the storm event as we simulate it and see what's happening literally minute by minute. And so you'll see some of that here. So here we've got, again, a comparison of the turbidity coming off of a bare soil box. You can see here, this is typically what we have, is these 1 meter by 2 meter boxes. We put them under the rainfall simulator, and we rain on them pretty hard, at about 2 to 3 inches per hour. So that's a pretty significant rainfall event. And obviously, if we put anything down on that soil, we will reduce erosion by an order of magnitude as measured by the turbidity. Very low turbidities. And here we actually had the high-end hydromulch was actually the best product. And you can see we rain on it, then we let it sit overnight, and then we rain on it again. It's kind of to give it a worst-case scenario, see how bad things are with the second event as well. Now, here's an example of the turbidity where we have looked at straw, and straw with either dry powdered PAM, which is the easiest thing to put out, or dissolving the polyacrylamide and then spraying it out using a hydroseeder. The tall bar is the bare soil. the straw alone, so we don't have any polyacrylamide. And so again, you can see adding the polyacrylamide has greatly reduced the amount of turbidity and erosion that we see in these tests. But what we unfortunately found was we had very high sediment loads. The turbidity was low, but the sediment load was high coming off the straw with the low rate, the 37 kilograms per hectare of polyacrylamide. Well, what was going on there? Well, I had a very inquisitive graduate student at the time, and she figured it out. And basically what's happening is that the granules are slowly dissolving during the rainfall event. So if you dissolve it, then you get the reactivity of the polyacrylamide right away. If you don't dissolve it, you depend on the rainfall to slowly dissolve it, and it will, over a period of hours, become activated and release the molecules that will do the flocculation and hold the soil structure. So that powder, again, it's very easy to put out, but it may not be as advantageous as dissolving it and spraying it out as a liquid. So here's what's happening here. And she took a measurement every minute, and you can see the turbidity in the upper curve from the pan that was put out as a powder was very high in the beginning and slowly came down as it started to dissolve and react. So under a heavy rainfall event, you may not get quite as much of a benefit, but you'll see later we find we still have a tremendous benefit compared to not using the polyacrylamide. But if you can afford to dissolve it and spray it out, you get really good results. You can see how low the turbidity was from the very beginning. All right, large study. This is, again, for you hydromulch fans. Our state was really curious, our DOT especially curious, really is hydromulch better or not? Because the results that we've been getting and their field staff are getting were all over the place. So we did a five-site study to look at hydromulch compared to straw and straw plus PAM. And you can see very large scale plots we had here. So we were really on a large field scale. We had three in our Piedmont, which is a little heavier soil, one in the mountain, which was also a more clay containing soil, and then a very sandy coastal plain site. We also had a sixth site, and this is a very sad case of doing incredibly hard work in the middle of July, going up and down the slope carrying the hydromulch hose and getting our plots out and spending 2 days in the hot North Carolina sun. And then we had 6 inches of rain overnight 2 days later, and you can see what happened. We just lost all our plots. They just kind of washed to the bottom of the slope. And eventually they figured out, oh, I guess we ought to put a slope drain up at the top there so we don't have water running down on our slope after we'd already spent 2 days putting out plots. All right, so for the remaining five sites, these are the results. Now, it's a terrible thing for anybody to put up a table this large with this many numbers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to point out that looking at the total sediment loss here for the five sites, you look at the first two sites and you'll see there's no difference. So straw and PAM, the hydromulches all had the same amount of erosion. So I'm going to eliminate those so you don't have to worry about those numbers. That doesn't mean they're not significant, because that means straw was just as good as any of the hydromulches on those sites. And again, these are all, you know, replicated like four plots per treatment. So very large and highly replicated. Now we get to the third site, and you notice, first of all, the numbers are very high. Well, as it turns out, we had a lot of heavy rainfall during that part of our study. We kind of moved from site to site to site, and we were just totally dependent on what was happening. And we had a lot of rain, so you can see that that in this case, we had hydromulches that were significantly better in terms of erosion control compared to the straw, and sometimes even the straw and PAM. Now, we move over to the next site, notice the numbers are much lower, but also notice that the lowest erosion rates were with the straw and the straw and PAM relative to the hydromulches tested. And then we get to the third site, and again, straw and straw and PAM were amongst the lowest erosion rates. So what's the conclusion out of this? Well, there's lots of conclusions, but basically a couple of the sites showed that they all performed the same. Another site, we had some of the hydromulches better than straw. Another site, we had straw and PAM better than the hydromulches. So out of all that, what would you conclude? That I think I heard, why spend the money on some of these high-end products that would cost you three times as much? And that's basically what we gave to our DOT. We said, well, sometimes they work better, but a lot of times they don't. And here, I just throw this in to show you the results from one of the sites, and you can see the turbidity where we have the PAM is much lower in the first couple events. And that's generally what we see. The first couple of events, we get tremendous benefits. Hopefully, soon after that, you've got grass growing, and you don't have erosion and turbidity as an issue. All right, here's another wild, crazy set of numbers. Same study, but now we're looking at vegetation. Did we establish vegetation, in this case, grass? Well, you can see the first three columns, no differences. See all those A's? So we can get rid of those numbers. But again, that means straw was just as good as anything else in establishing grass. The fourth site here, we had higher, in terms of cover, we had higher grass cover where we had straw, better than the hydromulches at that site. The fifth site, we actually had lower amounts of grass where the straw and PAM were, but we know why. Because they put so much tackifier, a tar-based or petroleum-based tackifier on those plots after we were done, they actually killed the grass. So that was about the only result that you got out of that was they probably would have all been the same, except if you put too much tackifier out, you're going to have serious effects. And to summarize all this, you can read it, but I can just tell you, it means that basically we didn't see any benefit to these hydromulches in terms of establishing grass. So no benefit in terms of erosion, no benefit in terms of grass growth, and some evidence that the grass was better where there was straw. All right, now we get into a more detailed study, getting to that PAM, looking at turbidity. Again, this is mainly looking at two things. Is dry PAM better than dissolved? And how much PAM are we losing in those first flushes? That's kind of a regulatory question. And notice, first of all, these graphs are all going to be a log scale, so we've got tremendous differences. You can see I won't spend a lot of time, but generally we've got like 10% of the turbidity of the untreated plots when we put out the polyacrylamide. And again, solids, same thing, much less erosion with polyacrylamide. Now, paying attention to the scale here, so this is erosion rate, and where there's no cover and no polyacrylamide, high erosion rates, where we have the straw cover, or actually Excelsior cover, lower erosion rates, but notice how the numbers are going to change. We go an order of magnitude lower to keep the same graph look about this, so now we're at 10, 20, 30 pounds or kilograms per hectare as opposed to 1,000. So adding the polymer, even though we also see that the dry polymer is not as good as the dissolved, both of them are so much better in terms of erosion control. So I don't have any stock in polyacrylamide, by the way, but it can do with some amazing things. And again, getting to the dry versus the dry being the granular GPAM, and the dissolved being the DPAM, dissolved is always better. So if you can afford to dissolve it and spray it as a solution, it's always better than the granular. And let's take a look at the soil structure, okay? Finally getting to some soils-related information. If you peel back the Excelsior and you take a look, now remember I said earlier that polyacrylamide is known to hold soil structure a little bit better, even if you don't really have much structure because it's been compacted or somehow it's a constructed soil. You can see over here, we've got all kinds of surface sealing and just a smeared looking soil. And then we get over here to the granular and you got a little bit better structure. But look at how granular the soil looks when we had dissolved PAM applied. And that's what we mean by soil structure. Those are basically flocculated clods, mini clods that are held together by the polyacrylamide. So that's a big benefit there. So out of all this, we would say let's add polyacrylamide to the system. It really helps hold everything, reduces erosion, and a lot of your stormwater systems that we're going to talk about are really designed to not have a lot of sediment in them at the beginning. So you want to really keep the sediment out of them by establishing a good grass cover. When we looked at the PAM and runoff, getting down to this lower bullet as I run out of time here, we found very low levels of polyacrylamide coming off those boxes, and we've measured this in the field as well, and the concentrations are well below any toxicity level by two orders of magnitude or so. So we're talking about maybe 5 or 10 parts per million, where the aquatic toxicity might be in the 1,000 to 10,000 range. So very high level of safety. Weather is a big factor. That's all I'll say about this slide. We've studied it. We've published it. And from this, again, my management recommendation is irrigate. Plan on irrigating, because that's you need to get your vegetation established. Last couple of slides, if you're using blankets, try to avoid using the plastic netting. Even if you don't like snakes, especially poisonous snakes like this one, it's really not good to be trapping wildlife out there. And now my loss leader here for next year, we're going to talk about compaction, and I know that's going to be addressed here, but this is what we found. Basically, if you till the soil, listen, and Mike, I want you to pay attention to this, because I noticed you were giving very little credit to tillage. You can see that even almost 3 years later, we had infiltration rates of 20 to 25 centimeters per hour. So very high. That makes this a stormwater, what was it, SCM? Stormwater control measure. Your grass is now a stormwater control measure. All right. I don't know if I have time for questions.
Yes, you do.
Overwhelmed with data. All right.
We have a couple minutes. I don't know if for any of the previous speakers, there's another question while we have a few more minutes before we're scheduled for the next presentation. There's a question over here.
Great question. So the question is, what are the environmental implications of using polyacrylamide? And that's about a two-hour lecture, but I can summarize it. Basically, there's the aquatic toxicity of polyacrylamide is very low. And in fact, what we generally say is the sediment that you prevent from leaving your site is way more toxic. Just sediment, I don't mean that it has metals on it, but just the sediment itself is toxic to aquatic organisms. Not to mention the damage to aquatic environments, et cetera. So the trade-off is pretty clear that if you use the PAM as part of your erosion control system, you're actually going to decrease the net toxicity of your runoff. So that you know, and one of the questions we often got was, in our state, we have a lot of waters that used to have freshwater mussels, and now very little of our stream system has them. Where we have them, we're extremely protective. And so we just finished a study on aquatic toxicity to freshwater mussels, and the poor graduate student just could not kill the mussels with his polyacrylamide dosing. So for those of you in toxicology, you know you have to have a dose response curve. His was flat, all the way up to 1,000 parts per million.
All right, and now we've run out of time. Thank you, Rich.